Red 5, I'm going in.
Stay in attack formation.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Trench Run Report, your place to talk, where we can talk Star Wars. I'm your host, Justin Gray, and here with me is
Aaron Russo, standing by.
Sean McKinley, standing by.
David Berklander, standing by.
Well, as you can obviously hear, we have everyone back. It has been a very long time since that has been on Yeah, when was the last time we all sat down and recorded?
I think it was Andor.
Was it Andor?
And even Andor, a lot of the time, it wasn't all four of us, but I think there were at least one or two times where that was the case.
Right. Oh, wow. Okay.
It was like, what, March or April or something? May?
It ended in May. So, yeah, because I was in Japan when the first couple episodes were released, and then I got to see the a little bit earlier than you guys.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. But that's another episode. this episode is looking at another anniversary that happened this year. This year we already covered the 20th anniversary of the Revenge of the Sith, and which was 20 years ago. And then this episode will cover 10 years ago. The sequel trilogy kickstarted with Star Wars The Force Awakens. And so we'll be talking about this film and kind of give a little review and then grade it at the end. We'll also kind of talk about the big giant hype train that it was 10 years ago, because for most of us this was kind of personally I wasn't on board. I mean, I wasn't on the Phantom Menace hype train because of the timing. I was 6 years old when it was released, and it was kind of a background thing, but it really didn't get my attention until later on. I think it was like close to like, and plus like even the summer of 1999, I didn't really wasn't a part of the Star Wars hype until around the fall or close to Christmas. So I missed the theatrical run. And so The Force Awakens was kind of the like the hype train that I kind of missed out on with the prequels, like to that degree, I guess.
You
guys kind of have a better, even David might even have like a better grasp on the how big the Phantom Menace hype train was back then.
Oh yeah, I remember.
I remember it.
I remember the original trilogy hype train.
I don't remember it as much about the movie, but I remember it with the merch. You could go anywhere without seeing Phantom Menace action figures or the Lego sets, and that's what really did it. And I didn't see it in theaters, but Attack of the Clones was actually the first Star Wars movie I saw in theaters.
You didn't see Phantom Menace in theaters?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. ¿Por qué no?
Yeah, me neither.
Really?
Yeah.
They wouldn't let you see it?
No.
How old were you?
9. Because it came out in 99.
Okay.
But Attack of the Clones, we were able to go see that at the midnight showing. So that was
cool. Parents changed their minds?
Yeah.
Did they go too, or just you?
Our mom took us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. Attack of the Clones was the first movie that I saw, Star Wars movie that I saw in theaters.
It's making me feel old.
So,
the video games, it was like episode one Pod Racer. And
that's a great game.
Yeah, all the merch and all like the Anakin. Like they had the different, like, was it Pepsi or Coca-Cola that had the different cans or bottles? I think it was Pepsi.
Yeah, it was Pepsi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, collected all those or whatever. But this was different, obviously. This is Force Awakens was a different beast than even that.
So
it was a different era
mm-hmm.
than like the dial-up era where you had to spend 3 days downloading the trailer.
Well, I remember when the, not that we're talking about the Force Awakens, but
yeah,
I remember when the Phantom Menace, that was the yeah. first like online trailer release that was like
analyzed to death.
Yeah, and that was like the first time any trailer was released online where anybody even gave a shit.
Yeah.
I remember I would go to the force.net like 10 to 15 times a day.
Yeah, hoping for the
refreshing job. It. Like, any new news? And I remember when they said trailer drops on this date on this website, and then I was like, okay, you know, and then like you knew the exact time. And then I remember I had a laptop set up on my dining room table and I was all ready, and it was like, okay, it's out, and then you went play. And it took like 2 hours for it to download so you could watch it. And I remember like I'd get a little bit more of the green or blue yeah. line, you know, and then I hit play and see a little snippet of it.
Oh, you didn't wait for it all at once.
I couldn't wait. I was like click, click, click. And then when it got fully downloaded, I watched it all the way.
Wow, rocking the force.net.
The force.net, man, that was my like I visited that website probably more than any other website I visited in like a concentrated period of time, just constantly refreshing force.net for any news. But having said that, the hype train for Force Awakens, I think, was, I don't know, it's hard to compare the two because I think they were very similar. But I think that for me, like the buildup to Force Awakens felt bigger to me. Part of it for me was when Phantom Menace was coming out, I was like right in the middle of having my kids. I'd only been married for like 3 years. I was working. I had kids at home. And I was in a spiritual community that wasn't exactly like, yeah, go camp out for movie tickets or something.
Right.
And so I was kind of like having to like be closeted a little bit. But when Force Awakens came out, like I was like, my kids were all grown and they were all excited about it. And I could fully embrace, fully openly, like all the excitement and engage in every bit of, you know, the buildup to it. And then the experience,
because that's how you guys met, was the toy release for this movie.
Yeah,
right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
Wow.
I remember we pulled up to the parking lot at Toys R Us. All my kids, and like there was just this one guy standing up at the door. I think the first person you talked to was Mariah, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. My memory on it is a little fuzzy. Because, like, I remember going up there. Like, I think I actually arrived around 10.
Yeah, you were, like, the first and only one there.
Then I waited, then I kind of went back to my car. Then I went back up again. And then I kind of went back. And then all of a sudden, there was a little bit of a line. Then I was like, all right, I'll stay up there this time. And then that's where I met you, your family, and Todd Powell, I believe.
Yeah, that's the first time I met Todd, too. Did you know Todd before that?
No, that was the first time.
Yeah, that was great.
So, and plus, I didn't get that much merch. I only bought, like, the main character action figures. I was actually, like, I was working in the kitchen at that time, so I did not make that much money. I was still living with my birth mom at the time. And about 2 weeks, I think a couple months before, I just got my driver's license. So that was kind of my first time like doing like a late night thing that didn't require the bus. So, and plus, like, yeah, you would think that, like, my first late night thing would be at a bar, but no, it was, like, waiting in line at Toys R Us. So,
both are expensive places to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember, like, every time there would be the toy release, and going all the way back to the prequels, it was such a, like, it was so exciting, but then it was, like, it very quickly became, like, an exercise in frustration, like, because you want to buy, like, 10 times more than what you can.
Right.
And you're just constantly trying, okay, well, which one do I put back on the shelf? Which one do I keep in the cart? And then you're worried, like, if you pick one that, like, everybody wanted, and then you, well, if I change my mind, I put it back on the shelf, and someone grabs it, and then I can't get it again, and then I may never get it, because some of that stuff just was never available again.
I always had it going in. I remember this vividly from, like, Attack of the Clones. Going into, like, Toys R Us, seeing, like, everything, the lightsabers, the Legos, the t-shirts, the figures. And the one thing that I was always told was, well, you don't want to get everything, because you might get it for Christmas.
I didn't have that.
that was the big line that my folks used, so they wouldn't have to spend so much.
I remember for me, like, for some reason, like, I don't know that I even knew. I don't remember hearing about Disney buying Lucasfilm. Somehow that happened, and I don't think I was aware of it. And then I remember my ex-wife, she texted me, she's like, did you hear they're making a new Star Wars movie? And I was like, no. I was like, what?
Who's they? Yeah.
And I searched it online, and I was like, what? And I went, and then from that moment, I was like, oh, we're back. Like, that was like, I was right back.
But that was when they just said that they were going to make one, but there was nothing more definitive other than
that. They had a release date pretty much right away.
Yeah, they had the release date.
You knew it was going to be episode 7.
Right.
And you knew it was coming out, whatever that
was. Christmas of 2015.
And I remember then it was back. I was right back to, like, I think it was still theforce.net, or I might have just, like, I would just, like, throughout the day, repeatedly, I would just Google search Star Wars and just see if there's any new news. And I would chase every little news story, every little tidbit of information. And I remember when the trailer dropped, it was around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, like a year before.
And I watched it on my phone. Yeah. Like, I just was like, it's out, boom. And I watched it on my phone, and I watched it over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, same here.
And then we watched Matthew McConaughey react to it.
That was me.
And then there was the second trailer, which was the one with the Chewie, we're home, right? Because wasn't in the first one.
So the first one was a teaser.
Yeah.
So the real trailer. And there was, like, two real ones or whatever.
So.
And this first time you see Han again, you're like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. So, fun thing about that is that when I first saw that trailer, Jake and I took a little road trip from Grand Rapids, Michigan to Anaheim, California. Well, he drove. I wasn't able to drive back then until, like, months later. But we saw the trailer at the celebration stage at Star Wars Celebration.
Oh, that's right. You're right
there. And actually, my intention was not to do that, but to, like, just, like, wait out and, like, see what goes on at the convention. But I think I was meeting up with some friends from the Star Wars Underworld, Ben, Chris, and Dominic. Their Star Wars podcast is amazing, and they've been around for many years. So I was talking with them down in this convention basement. And after we were done, Jake came down, and then we're like, yeah, we can just head back to the hotel. And then the doors closed on us, and they're like, yep, you can't leave. We're not allowing anybody in this room to leave. And we're like, okay. So we didn't get food. We didn't bring our pillows. We were so ill-equipped for this. And then, JJ Abrams bought everybody pizza down in the basement.
I remember hearing about
that. And,
is it so bad for you guys getting stuck down there?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, my mom hates me for using this comparison. I was like, it was like feeding the 5,000.
Pizza. Is it because they didn't want, like, instead, they wanted to make sure people hadn't recorded it and then, like, left to post it or something?
Well, I think it was because they didn't know how fast it would fill up.
Oh, right.
And, like, back then, they didn't have the lottery system that they have today. So.
You just lined up.
Yep, we just lined up as early as you can get there, so.
You had to get in a line to get in the line.
Yeah, pretty much.
But that was like what, April?
Mm-hmm.
So like yes. Way earlier than everyone thought. Right? Because it came out in like that 6 months early, basically, for the trailer.
So, yeah, but they did release it online like hours later, though.
Oh, okay. Oh, maybe. Okay. So this was like April 2015.
Mm-hmm.
14, yeah. 15. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but the, oh, yeah. And the exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
They actually showed the costumes for the first time, like Rey, Poe's, Finn's, Kylo Ren's. It was kind of also the first time. I remember they raced Speeder, but I don't remember if they had the full First Order Stormtrooper costumes out or not. I know there were a couple of them. I remember seeing two of them out in the convention center, but I don't know if those were like fan made or official or not. So, but yeah, that was kind of our. But yeah, the hype in there was like very big, and plus I also remember Harrison Ford not going because about. I think it was like a week before he crashed his plane into a golf course.
And then he got hurt on set, too.
Yeah, he got hurt on set, too.
Oh, I remember thinking, so, like, man, dude, just stay alive long enough. Right. Maybe, man.
Or he was like, I don't want to go on this convention. I'm going down. Knowing him in conventions, it's like, yeah. Okay. But, yeah, the rest of the crew was there. Carrie, Mark, Peter Mayhew, Anthony Daniels, and then the new cast. So
you remember when they released that first photo of that read through?
Yes.
Remember that picture?
Mm-hmm.
I remember that picture where they're all sitting in that big square and you had all the old guys and all the new guys and they were all sitting. I remember that picture it's like, whoa, this is really gonna happen.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's not Luke and Han and Leia. Oh my god.
I think Spaceballs did a parody of that.
Oh god.
Just recently.
I also remember very clearly like the because did you go to the marathon? No?
No, but I did bump into one of your kids
At the theater. Yeah.
Me, Jake, and two other guys from high school, we took like a late night IMAX viewing because I tried to get the 7 o'clock viewing for IMAX, but it sold.
I remember it sold out so fast. Exactly when I was trying to get the tickets online because I wanted to take all my kids to the marathon, and we got tickets for it like right away. And oh man, and then it was like the clock was ticking, like, and I was like, holy crap, like the tickets that there's something about like that moment when you actually get the tickets for the movie and you're like, whoa, like this, there's this date and this time, and like you're like counting down. I don't remember how far in advance they released tickets though.
It was so
like a month or two maybe.
They released the tickets like right after they showed the second theatrical trailer for it.
Okay.
So I remember it was like kind of my
October or something.
Yeah, it was in October. And it was kind of like my first time watching, like, I think they wanted to, like, boost football viewing ratings or something like that. So they had the trailer. That's
right, on Monday Night Football or something.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have been the Super Bowl. But, yeah, I remember it being tied up with football, and everyone was like, what the heck?
What's the ABC Disney ESPN connection?
Yeah.
So, like, right when that trailer ended, it was when they released the tickets. And which kind of bugged me because I was like emotionally stunned after that trailer. And then I'm going over here, like, just like getting frustrated that I didn't get the 7 o'clock, but got the 10. So I was like, okay. And then the movie released. Upon first viewing, I was like on cloud nine. Oh, I was so happy.
I remember.
Like it was like.
Did you guys go together?
No.
Same day.
Different theaters. I took my kids to the marathon. So we were at the theater at like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
To see Phantom Menace. And we sat in the theater through episodes 1 through 6, which was brutal. It's not easy to sit in a theater for that long. They gave us like 15 minutes between each movie to like get up and walk around. And like, but there was no, like when you got to the end of, I remember we got to the end of Return of the Jedi and we walked out of the theater and it was the first time that we came out of one of the screenings and like the release was in full swing and the lobby was just full of people. Cosplayers, photo booths. It was like total like euphoria of like the opening night of the new Star Wars movie. And I remember like you just got this adrenaline rush. And I remember like sitting in the theater with my kids and Josh is like sitting next to him and he's like just losing his mind. I was just like, I remember you're like, it's just that there was nothing quite like that first, like when it started, like, and you're like, okay, here, like, and there's just this, for me, there was also, like, if I'm honest, much as I love the prequels now, but I was, my experience with the first time seeing Phantom Menace, there was some disappointment there, so I was like, okay, is this gonna be good, are we really back, and I remember we got out of that theater, and we went home with me and my kids, and we just stood in the kitchen for like an hour, just going crazy over how good it was, and how much we liked it, and how much fun it was, and like, yeah, it was just like, fantastic. I thinking about it now, it's like, I really like, like if you just stop right there, like that was a great start to the Disney era. I was like, fully like, yes, I love that movie, I'm excited that it's back, we don't have to talk about anything else, but like,
yeah,
that was a fantastic start in my opinion, like from the moment it was announced to the aftermath of seeing it for the first time was
so that was kind of before the like YouTube culture was around of like,
so there was no, there was, there was
Collider Jedi Council was my, I remember watching them during the sequel trilogy era. That was my go-to YouTube, but it wasn't quite as widespread. Yeah,
right.
So
but the sequel trilogy really launched that.
Yeah,
it launched that whole,
especially Last Jedi.
Yeah,
in that negative direction,
mm-hmm.
for sure. But yeah, the hype, like, if you're like measuring it on a graph, like the,
it was the, it was the
franchise, first, it's a high watermark.
It was the release. It launched, I really like, the return of Star Wars, like, launched, like, that whole cottage industry.
Yeah.
Of, like, podcasts and YouTube channels that were just explicitly for Star Wars or for nerd content, like, and now it's, like, a multi-billion dollar business, basically.
And we're not seeing a cent of it. But we're doing this for fun though. Money or not. Hopefully one day, I don't know. But But yeah, I remember the YouTube environment during Force Awakens was mostly very heavy on lore information. A lot of people were relying on YouTube for lore information. That's where you got the Star Wars theories, the Star Wars Explained, and a lot of other things that started to come up because of that. And also looking back, I was kind of a loner for most of the late 20-teens until Star Wars came back. And then the whole, then my whole environment kind of changed, because then everybody kept like messaging me on Facebook, like, "Oh, what's this? Like, wait, how old was Luke when this happened?" Or like just like minor questions, and it kind of felt like I was actually relevant for once again. So yeah, it was definitely the boost that I kind of needed. And then also with David's thing about Christmas, same thing happened here, because I remember not buying much, but then that Christmas, it was kind of like I didn't need to.
Everybody knew what to get Justin for Christmas.
Yeah, most, like at least one quarter of my collection is because of Christmas, like during the sequel trilogy era. So
yeah, my brother got us like this little, that little remote control VV8.
Oh, I think I actually have one of those too.
Yeah, and my kids were 1 to 4 at the time, so I don't think I saw it when it like on release night. I think we, like, because we had to make arrangements and stuff for like make it a date night with childcare and everything. So I think it was sometime during that release window in Christmas season. Which I like. At first I was like, oh, Christmas, like it's supposed to be May, but then I kind of like, oh, actually this kind of works really well. I think like every 2 years you have, or every year at that point, right? Basically, it's until Solo, 3 years in a row you had Christmas like Star Wars happening.
Yeah,
Force Awakens, yeah, Rogue One, and that was Jedi.
I love
that. And I'm like, that's a good idea.
I miss that so much.
Yeah,
that made Christmas Christmas.
You could go multiple times easier if like when you're on break or like things.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think we went to see every sequel trilogy movie on Christmas Day, even though we had seen it.
Right.
Yeah, I remember seeing it the premiere night, and then I saw it again the next day. And then on Christmas, I saw it, I think, like, late at night. And then for New Year, and then on New Year's Day, I took my biological family to see it, and that was my birth mom's introduction to Star Wars. And I remember that she liked it like really way more than I thought she would. So, and then we kind of saw every movie ever since. Well, minus Solo, but
no one else saw that either. So
I have a funny story about Solo, but we'll probably do that when we have a Solo episode.
Yeah, in 2028 or something. Yeah. 10th anniversary.
Yeah, my most disappointing theatrical experience ever.
Ever? Wait, whoa, what?
Not because of, well, partially
like the presentation. Like
I saw it at a drive-in theater.
Oh,
you guys remember the first half is like so badly lit.
Oh, it's so
dark.
I remember you told me that dark. Wasn't dark enough yet.
And then I didn't get to see, like, all I could see was the audio, and like the sun wasn't even down all the way. And like I couldn't visibly, like the movie wasn't like fully visible until they got to the ice planet. like during the train heist. So it was like, oh. But
anyway.
But yeah, Force Awakens. I guess we kinda gushed about the like the build up to it, but what about the actual movie? So obviously I've already kind of handed out my list of like Star Wars movies rankings, and despite it causing controversy, I still like it more than most of the all of the prequels.
I know.
Visually, the for sure.
So, and like my ranking on it, at one point I did put it above Return of the Jedi, and then
The Force Awakens.
Yeah, I did A New Hope, Empire, then Force Awakens at the time. But I think as like the years passed, it did get demoted down to four once the 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi came out. And then I kept watching Return of the Jedi over again. I was like, you know what? I think this has a little bit more nostalgia factor than Force Awakens for me. So I did. So I put Return of the Jedi back where it belonged.
I think for me, like when I think about that idea of like ranking or rating, like for me, like it's very hard for me to ever put anything up in the top three other than the original trilogy, just because of what my age and my experience with it, like made it very difficult. But having said that, like on any given day, I could easily put Force Awakens, like for me, it would very much be like Empire, New Hope, Return of the Jedi, and then it could easily flip-flop between Revenge of the Sith and Force Awakens, like in terms of like just at standalone, like my enjoyment of the movie before anything else comes out afterwards, like would be right up there, like definitely above the prequels, except for Revenge of the Sith, depending on my mood, I guess. But I think Force Awakens was, for me, it was like, yeah, it was pretty darn close to like peak Star Wars at the time.
It reminded me of, because it was Disney, and I had kind of a gap of time between like live action Disney movies. Between, for me, it was like the Pirates movies, especially the first three.
Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah. It's like, that's what, 03, 05, and 07 or something. And then there's a gap in time, and then this comes out, and it's like, this is in the same category of, like, swashbuckling adventure, kind of, like, it's Disney, but not, like, a core Disney movie, if that makes sense. Because Disney, obviously, has the IP for Pirates, but it was, like, Jerry Bruckheimer, and, like, he did his thing with it. And this is, like, J.J. Abrams doing his thing with it. And, like, Rise of Skywalker is, like, the studio interfering with Star Wars, right? And this is, like, more, like, handed to J.J., in the vein of Spielberg, and do your thing with it. And then they got the same thing with Rian Johnson, and then they're like, oh no, we handed it to an auteur or whatever, too much. But the feeling of it was the same as like those adventurous,
yes,
like epic adventure of the Pirates movies.
It was
I was like, this is in good hands. Like, this is the, if you're going to sell it, like at the time it was like, yeah, Disney could do that because they did it like with Pirates. So I was on like benchmark for like, you made, you know, Jack Sparrow, like an iconic character out of a ride, right? Like a stale old ride from Disney World. You like refreshed it with this new character, like perhaps, you know, these three new characters could be something like that. The breath of fresh air and tying in the legacy with the new, and it sets a bunch of stuff up like J.J. Abrams is prone to do. But so that, in that sense, like I have to kind of firewall it of like whatever came after.
Yes.
Because like it is what it was. And then, but it still holds up even in light of like after, so everything since, it doesn't necessarily ruin this.
No.
It's still, but it's, that's the whole,
it's like, it's still good. A very like fun, well done, like it stands on its own merits as just a very good Star Wars movie, in my opinion.
Especially because it's like, it's in the sense it's frustrating where, like, where did you get the lightsaber? Like, good story for another time. I'm like, you never close that thread. Like, all these threads they could have gone with, careful, that this movie set up, you know.
Start talking about threads, you'll get everyone upset.
But, like, you know, like the J.J. Abrams mystery box thing, like, They could and should have followed those threads through and like made a whole thing of it. But obviously, like the big.
But this, it doesn't diminish how good the setup was.
Yeah, right. I mean, I wish that there maybe would have, they should have found a way to have Luke in it somehow more than just the ending cameo. And then just like unexplained, like, oh, look, Luke has disappeared. We don't know where he is, but he left a map. Like, the like kind of like where, like, why isn't he in this movie? was that, you know, like, and then like not having all three of them in one room at one point when you're gonna kill, like, if you know you're gonna kill off Han, you have to have like Luke in the room with the three original core.
I still to this day am convinced that that happened because Han, because Harrison Ford said, I'll be in the movie, but I'm dying.
Oh, yeah. I think that's like pretty much.
Or I'm not going to be in it.
I think that's pretty much confirmed. That
one. I'm almost certain that that exact
he signed up for one happened. Movie only. Yeah.
He's like, I'll come back.
If you're locking that in, then like find a way to
right.
like, change
right.
the story to make it so Luke wanted hung. Even if it's a
flashback. Like a flashback.
Like even if it's like all the way back. Just like this is 5 years earlier or something. Like
right.
they're still old or whatever. That's in the same scene.
That's probably the only criticism, really, maybe strong criticism I would have for this movie is that they kind of just dropped us back in the story of these three characters, but it was very like when Han and Leia meet, when we see them on screen for the first time together and they're talking about stuff and we're like, oh, I don't know what they're talking about. Like,
yeah,
like they're, but we don't really know, well, why exactly.
Last time we saw them, they were partying.
Were they strange? Mm-hmm. Why? What was the deal with their son? Like they, like you knew that basically what happened was, you know, they. It was classic, like, you know, like, I don't know how to say it, like, you know, the classic like failure of the celebrity parents story, you know, where it's like, you try being the kid of, you know, two of the most famous. Celebrated, you know, and the fact that like Leia, like, you know, like, because I think what's implied is that, right, like Leia's career or her role as a part of the resistance kind of made her like not as focused on her kid, and then Han wasn't super close to Leia, and then blah 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 blah, but like I just wish it would have been a little bit more like. You could have even used like the first half of the movie to actually tell that story.
Yeah.
Yep. Instead, they just
dump you into it.
They just what do they call it again?
Exposition
dump where they were just like, we'll have this conversation that'll kind of give you just enough to like have an understanding, but then we're gonna move on. That was the only part that I kind of was like, eh, because it would have been really. I think that scene where Kylo kills Han would have been so much more powerful if we saw just a little bit. Them together, like when they were younger, or like something other than
I always thought, like, to do the twist of like the "No, I am your father" is that, like, Ben Solo is Kylo Ren, but they don't know that. They think that Kylo Ren killed their son, Ben Solo.
Right, and then he takes
and it turns out that like,
no,
he's
I am your son,
and then
I am your son.
Like that would have been like even more crazy, yeah, because that would have been total, hey, you guys remember that?
That would
have
been cool.
And then like, that would be more Shakespearean, where, like Han and Leia are, like, they're dedicating their whole life to, like, taking down this big bad guy, the person who killed their son, or at least, like, it could be, like, and maybe, like, Luke could be involved in that, where, like, what if Luke, like, kept that, what if Luke knew that, but, like, couldn't bring it to tell them that, like, this is actually, like, he didn't actually die, like, kind of like Obi-Wan kind of kept it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that could have played on that, and then like that could have had like a little bit of a rift between Leia and Luke. Like that could have been the falling out. Is like you kept that from me, that my son was alive, but he was Kylo Ren this whole time, and you knew that. Yeah. Like, but he couldn't. I don't know. Like that would have been a lot to work with,
right?
But like I guess
I think
they knew that.
I think part of it was also that they were trying to balance reintroducing the old characters while reintroducing three new characters.
Yeah,
there's just so much you can do. Because, right, I mean, they chose, the character they chose to develop the most was Rey. And they gave us a full, like, you know, introduction, her life before the action, and her introduction to the story, which was very similar to Luke, obviously.
Yeah.
So I think they tried to walk that line of, like, okay, we've got, like, essentially six main characters, even though Luke was really not a main character in that movie, but he is one of the main characters. So you have to figure out how to launch three new main characters, integrate three legacy characters in a two and a half hour movie or so. Like that's a tall task. Which I think they mostly pulled off, but like there's definitely some shortcomings in my opinion.
So then the fact that there was I think the thing that kind of fascinates me about this movie is that most of this movie doesn't take place on green screen, that they mostly shot it on set and yeah. Most they kind of limited the they've kind of had special categories on where to use CGI, which kind of in my opinion really worked.
Absolutely.
I liked that they they shot like the first half in Jakku, like in the desert, and like that big opening scene is just still as amazing as ever, like even watching it today. On how like cool this storm, like actual stormtroopers are there. They're not clones that are CGI. And like even back then I was like, yes, this is like it gives us a chance to actually be in a movie for once. Or like other people will be in a movie. So and also I gotta be really honest, I liked the three main three new characters in this movie.
Oh, absolutely. I thought they like, introduced them all really, really
say what you want. Like my opinion changes definitely in the next two.
I actually Poe's first scenes were mm-hmm. great. Finn's first scenes were great. Mm-hmm. Rey's first scenes were great. Like that whole thing with Poe and Kylo Ren was fantastic. Like who talks first? I talk first, you talk first. Like that was
great. Yeah, he's doing like the Leia getting the Leia at the beginning of New Hope being kind of snarky and like this is a diplomatic mission. It's like we both know right. Like mm-hmm. that's not true or whatever.
What do you guys think of like the idea that like because a lot of people were speculating that scene where he's in the tent with Lars Santeca, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. he goes, this will begin to make everything right, and that was a jab at the prequels. that was actually a direct like Easter egg jab at the prequels, like here, okay, we're gonna make this right, we're gonna do this right because stuff in the prequels.
They dropped the ball going into the next one.
Same opinion. I didn't. And I actually remember, like, there was, like, a... I don't know if it was a tweet or whatnot, but they, like, everybody was, like, clamoring to know what the first word for the new Star Wars movie was going to be. And then, like, JJ was like, it's, this. That's it. That's all I can give.
The word, this. Yeah, the first line of dialogue, yeah.
So we'd even be concerned about that, like... What's the first word in the movie? Like that's
it's what Return of the Jedi. It's like what shuttle Tiderium or whatever you have clearance to land or something. Mm-hmm. It's like come on guys, like, not to check out a meteor that hit me here. Yeah,
like I think even the first like I think even the title crawl was like even like what's the first word and it's like
also
I'd like to just be surprised.
It's funny, like some people, I know people who have this something that I do not have, which is that they can completely abstain from engaging in trailers, you know, sneak peeks, leaked photos, you know, officially leaked photos, published photos. Like they can just abstain from all of that because they just want a fresh experience. And I'm like, I could never do that. Like I could never like just remove myself.
They're filthy casuals. That's why.
Another thing I want to say about the movie is soundtrack.
John Williams.
Soundtrack was excellent.
Yep. Ray's theme was great.
It was great. The soundtrack was good. I thought it like... And I like how they weaved in some of the original themes, but there are also some very new original themes that were very, very good. I thoroughly enjoy listening to that soundtrack. And Rey's theme, the X-Wing.
Oh, the March of the Resistance.
Or that. All of it. It's very, it like it grew on me instantly, like just like the original trilogy soundtracks did. And I think that's part of what made it feel like such a rousing return. Mm-hmm. Because it was like the soundtrack was doing what it does in a Star Wars movie, I think.
Yeah, plus, I mean, it's John freaking Williams.
I know.
It works. yep, so I definitely had the Jedi steps, like the ending thing on loop for like weeks after it released. And I just like, again, Rey's theme, really good, despite Jacob's criticism saying that it kind of reminded him of Beauty and the Beast for some reason. Well, I kind of get it.
Rey's theme?
Yeah, you know, like the da, 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 but. And then, like, Alan Menken's Beauty and the Beast thing starts out with a, like, da, 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 da.
Oh, so, okay, I can see
there, it. There's that. I mean, like, I heard people say that it's kind of like they're, like, it's like, hey, it's John Williams just entering into Disney, so, and he's borrowed from other people before. Holst. So,
yeah.
Holst. So, but, yeah. But mostly when I hear what Rey's theme, I don't usually think of that. So I usually think of the main, like, da 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 da. So
the actual,
the melody. So I am. The March of the Resistance was really good. If you guys ever have the chance to listen to that, like them play like anything from The Force Awakens in a concert hall, please do it. It is one of the most thrilling feelings ever. Especially with the March of the Resistance. That, like, hearing that in concert is just like, man, like, it makes you want to get up and go like, yeah! So, Kylo Ren's motif was pretty fun. Apparently, I heard John Williams was supposed to have a Ben Solo theme. That was supposed to be introduced, but they were going to push that back to later.
Yeah, because I think they hinted at it in Rise at that one part when you kind of finally meet him. But he's fighting the other Knights of Ren. Isn't that the first time you hear a motif of...
Yeah, you hear Kylo Ren's motif, but apparently the Rise of Skywalker theme that's in the Rise of Skywalker, like da 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 da. Oh, wow. I actually now just realized it's... So the Rise of Skywalker theme was supposed to be Ben Solo's theme,
right?
Because it's like played out like Kylo Ren's theme, well, Kylo Ren's motif, because the motif is like a presentation of here, the character is here, and a theme is kind of saying the same thing but kind of giving out a longer detail. So, yeah, that was supposed to be Ben Solo's theme and, like, have it play out. But, like, but when he's Kylo Ren, it's just Kylo Ren for, like, when he's Kylo Ren. So, but, yeah,
I really liked the idea of, like, Finn, like, a defecting stormtrooper or, like, a moral quandary around that slash, like, the child soldier thing, that the angle they took with that of not just conscripts, but, like, child soldiers, because probably it was like we know now it was like clones and then volunteers, just regular volunteers, and then probably some transcription or conscription, and then they ran out. I guess they ran out or First Order like needed the most hardcore you could have, but I mean it was in the one sense that's cool, but also it was like instant, like he had like instantly perhaps at the first sign of battle or whatever, like he instantly defected or whatever. That would have been cool to make me stretch that out. Like stretch his story out a little longer, where he just like maybe he turns at the end of the movie, like through his encounter with the other characters through the movie, which would have to be a different movie. He flips near the end of the movie, and then in the second movie, he's like he's doing his own thing off to the side, and it all come together in the third movie where he'll like him and the allies like he'll like rally a bunch of troops who will like defect at the right moment, just at the right time. when like the bad guy expects like, okay, open fire, and then they all are like, no, we're good guys now, right? Like they could have run that out over a longer time span. But I think they didn't quite, obviously they didn't quite know what to do with Finn, maybe. Because they're like, is he Jedi? Is he going to be a force sensitive guy? Is he not? Like, what are we going to do? Is it a romance thing? Like, what are we going to do? Are we going to kill him? Like, because they trapped him pretty good enough that they could kill him off if they had to, right? Like, because Kylo Ren got a good slice on him and obviously kept him alive. But, like, I don't know if they had, obviously, they didn't have a plan overall, but they certainly didn't have the plan for Finn. And you can kind of see that coming out with, like, his post, like, post Rise of Skywalker status. John Boyega is like, his analysis of his memoirs of like that period of time is I think he's kind of frustrated that they like did not have like he wasn't taken care of as a character well. It was just kind of haphazard. And that I get that. Like I can understand that. And kind of you kind of see it in Force Awakens a little bit. So they're not quite well, sure what to do with them.
I feel like Force Awakens kinda already and like I've already kind of like brushed on this like with other people. But his story kind of ended in Force Awakens. He went from the coward to like actually standing up to a guy that he knows he has no chance against.
But they just killed Han. They could have had him as like the sacrificial one. Just like you killed Ben, you kill Obi-Wan Kenobi in A New Hope. He could have been like the hero who sacrifices himself to blow up the Death Star kind of thing. But they already just they just did that like a few minutes before Han, so like they can't have major death at once. But yeah, he did like that because his whole story, he had his whole arc already. If you're not gonna make him a Jedi,
right,
is the other piece of that.
Well, I think too the reason like his story throughout the trilogy is so terrible is because they really built him up in the trailers for Force Awakens.
It's true.
Yeah,
because a lot of the trailers started with him as a stormtrooper, and then ended with him with a lightsaber.
And you're like, whoa!
And everyone's like, whoa! What's going on? I mean, that's what Finn's theory talks about. It's like they trailered the crap out of this movie, so the hype was.
They did that, and then the bookend of that is in Rise of Skywalker, and he's like, Rey, I have something to tell you, and then we never find out what it was. So introduction to the end, it's like they just like we're literally just gonna take this character and like dangle him with no finish or closure of any kind. Like we don't even know what or they hint that he's going to have some kind of connection to that like Janna. And that they're gonna somehow
like, but even she's like a rehash of the same idea of like affecting stormtroopers who were kids. Like I found my people, but it's like that could have brought that in, like there are others, right? There are dozens of us. Like they could have had that where he could have met Janna or Jaina, like in the first movie as part of his like turning. Like she could have been the one, like maybe that really got him to turn and then turn good, but she dies, right? Like the people along the way like inform his journey, and she would have been one of the ones who like, oh, her sacrifice like really
hit him. They kind of just force pushed him into the friend zone, right?
Oh yeah, that too. Yeah, like what are they gonna do? And then everyone wanted Reylo instead, or and which they went full Reylo mode in Last Jedi with like
which to be fair, fantastic.
Well, keep in mind we did get out of Twilight around that time, so
yeah, everyone's feral mood.
Yeah.
And we're just getting 50 Shades of Grey at that time too, so everyone's got that kind of thing going.
So what are some of the peak moments for you guys from this movie? Like most memorable moments, scenes or whatever.
When Poe and Finn are like escaping the first time, and like doing the, like they're in, you know, I'm Finn.
What's your name? FN-127.
And then like that like double decker or like the dual TIE fighter thing is really cool. The first order TIE fighter, two seater, because that reminds me of like, oh yeah, remember like the part where they're in A New Hope with the cannons and the Falcon. So it's kind of like reminding me of that. It was like exciting and cool. But then you think like, you don't think, you're made to think that, oh no, Bo died, but I'm like, he's not dead.
Yeah.
Right? But then they just inexplicably, he somehow got off Jakku and like beat them to the rebel base or whatever. So whatever, he just .. He survived that and then got home somehow. We don't really need to worry about it from there.
I really enjoyed, like, I think I loved the opening sequence with Rey. I thought that was like her opening was just for me like very poetic, very haunting, very like it like instantly made me feel sympathetic to the character, yeah. And like the combination of the music and the scenery and the way she's alone, like I thought that worked fantastically as an introduction for her. But I think the first point where I was like, oh yeah, we're having fun, was the scene where they're at, well, I don't know, what's the name of the place where she goes to sell the junk? I don't even remember.
Oh, Nima Outpost?
Yeah. Like when her and Finn have that bird where they first meet, and there's that thing about, stop taking my hand, and the running, and then the, take that, and we'll fly that one. And it's like, oh no, it blew up. And they're like, how about that one? That piece of junk? You know, like, that whole sequence from the moment that they see each other until the moment that they jump on the Falcon, and then that Falcon chase was fantastic. I thought that was
through the Star Destroyer.
Yes, yeah. I thought that was fantastic. Yeah. Like,
that scene was fun in 4D. Actually felt like a ride.
Now, remind me, did Han Solo pick them up? Because he was like in the area and picked up the signature. Like
he picked up their scanners and then picked them up on their. And
I don't think he was looking for it.
I think he was just out and about.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Because he was doing the Wrath Tar thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I have to say, like,
I loved
the opening, the sequence where he's standing in the hallway. And the one gang comes in, and the other gang comes in, and he's doing Han Solo, like, "Hey guys!" And he's that's classic. That was like classic Han Solo
in a bind or whatever.
Yeah, and he's just like charming, but everybody's like, "You're full of it." Like,
wait,
like the Conjure Club.
Yeah, wasn't the Conjure Club like a cameo from? What was that? It was some type. They were some type of cameo from like a different movie.
Oh.
So, but like, yeah. Oh, the raid
from Scotland.
And I loved the, and that whole sequence, I think the Wrath Tars, I wasn't a fan of, but the, like that whole sequence on that ship. And then, I mean, that whole sequence from the time that they go into the Falcon and like all that, like just was just, and like the conversation that they have where they're like, oh, you're Han Solo, like, and he was telling them it's true, it's all true, you know, like that was just, I thought that was magical. I thought that was, I think that Han got the best treatment of any of the three, big three, like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they have like when they go to talk to Maz's planet, like him and Han and Rey have like kind of that moment where he like gives her the blaster and stuff, and like it's like he knows her or who she is, you know, like they were playing with that she was like somebody important, and like, as I remember, the big mystery is like, oh, who dropped Rey off when she's a little baby, when she has the flashbacks, like,
right. Mm-hmm. Right,
and then like Last Jedi is like, oh, you're nobody, which I'm like, oh, that's cool too.
Mm-hmm.
But like in this one, it's the direction given or whatever was like Han was like looking at her like oh, you remind so much of Luke because you're Luke's daughter, or like whatever it is, like whatever he had in his head, or was it just like, oh, I lost my son and here's like a
that's girl. What that's
yeah. kind of the same age. That's what I got.
And she's kind of like an orphan, and like, oh, maybe I should like be a dad, kind of.
I got that. Yeah, that it was like it was his chance to like maybe redeem himself as a father figure,
right?
And he saw some of himself in her,
because we don't know it yet. Kylo Ren is their son. That's when Han and Leia connect. They're like, I saw him, I saw our son. And you're like, oh, like that's the both.
No, they introduced that idea a little bit earlier with Snoke. Snoke.
Oh, that's right. Snoke did it. That's how we got the reveal.
Yep. So.
And the other sequence for me that I think was like really fun was when they're, which was what was on more or less before we started, which is when they sneak onto Starkiller Base, and the banter between Han and Finn and Chewie, and like, and that was just really that fun. That sequence was fun.
Do you have garbage chute? Trash compactor?
Yeah, we do.
It was just. I think that was just. It was just. It reminded me so much of like of A New Hope and like of the Death Star, you know, escape, so to speak, even though it was reversed. Like they're sneaking on instead of off. But it was still very reminiscent of that.
Do you need some final thoughts then?
So,
I love the ending too. By the way, like I thought, like the music, and the and that was a fantastic setup. Like that was like a great
the like Luke's Islands.
The yes. Ending?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, right. That was. I mean, that was. Well, the way I see it is that was a fantastic ending, mm-hmm. and it was a perfect setup.
Yeah.
For the disappointment,
we tossed the lightsaber, but like up for that, we're in suspense of like, yeah, what a perfect way to like, you're definitely
time
to like, I gotta see what happened. Like, what are the first words now? Like, you were gonna show up for the next movie, only to be disappointed.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. I will never forget when that scene happened.
Yeah,
I was like, I went.
People were gasping.
I was like, oh,
yeah,
oh, like I was like gasp, and I kind of like. Laugh, but not like funny laugh, but more like, oh, you guys fucked up. That was not. Whoa. Like, no.
Yeah.
But enough about that.
We'll talk about that in 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, so again, well, actually, like, we had The Force Awakens playing not too long ago before recording. And looking 10 years back, definitely a lot has changed as far as Star Wars. Definitely the road to The Force Awakens is definitely kind of the reason why we're even doing this today. And is it still as good as it was when I first watched it? Not really. But again, it feels like what being reunited with a long high school friend that I haven't seen in a while, which kind of does bring back the memories and brings back everything else. And
it's kind of like what I tell like people who ask me like what do you think of like this or some of the other movies. It's like, well, in Star Wars Galaxy, I don't like it. I prefer like the legends. That's where the true stuff is. But if you take it out and it's like a standalone movie and you take it out of context with Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, it's a phenomenal movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
People can follow it. It's great. I tell that with like people like Rogue One. It's like, it's one of the best Star Wars movies where you pull it out. It's a standalone movie. You can, someone who's not familiar with Star Wars, they can follow the story. It's a lot of fun. There's characters you fall in love with and they die. It's
mm-hmm.
in a lot of ways they did right with it, but then when you have it with Last Jedi, and
if you think about it, like they're like Force Awakens, great start, and then yep. it's downhill from there. But Rogue One was not really a downhill, but it's just very different, and then it's downhill, and then Mandalorian. Man, you couldn't have started that better.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't have started Disney Plus live-action Star Wars better, like, for all intents and purposes. And so it's really interesting, but it's really interesting to me that it's, so, like, it's that nobody talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Most people talk about Last Jedi, Solo, Rise of Skywalker. There's this predisposition to focus on the negative and forget that they really got off to a good start with the movies yeah. and the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's important to remember that and not just, it's like they say, that, you know, like, when you end a relationship, you only remember the bad stuff. Right. Like, and then after a while you remember the good stuff. Right. It's like, it's kind of like right now we're still in that space. Like, oh, I just remember the bad stuff. And like that. Like, and that's what happened with the prequels. Like, everybody just remembers yeah. the bad stuff. But then later on, he's like, oh, no, I actually loved that. That was great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I don't know if that will happen with the sequels, but
I think, too, with the prequels, everyone had the sequels to compare to. Where you had it start out good, then just, it was just a train wreck. Where the prequels, it started out, in a lot of people's opinion, bad because of Phantom Menace. But then it got better throughout Attack of the Clones, Return of the Jedi. It's prequels are some of the best Star Wars, you know, ever done. So I think there's kind of like a comparison between the two,
mm-hmm.
where with the lightsaber combat, I mean, it's like You got Darth Maul, you got Count Dooku, you got Anakin, Grievous. Here, you have the comparison of they're just batting at each other with baseball bats. So you kind of have that. Sticks. Yeah. Glow sticks. So you kind of have that back and forth of being able to compare how each trilogy went. Maybe I just kind of went off the trails with that, but...
Mm-mm. No, I feel like the lightsaber fight in The Force Awakens was more emotion-driven than story-driven, I guess, in a way. Well, actually...
I can say that.
So,
same with, like...
Well, with the exception of Anakin and Obi-Wan in Revenge of the Sith, where that one did have emotional weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
And weird thing is, like, I remember being, like, fascinated that, like, there were some details in lightsaber fighting that I didn't see in the prequels, like lighting, and, like, you could actually see the lightsaber reflections in their eyes,
mm-hmm.
if you kind of look back at it, which you couldn't see that in the prequels because they didn't use light, like, they didn't really consider lighting, with the exception of episode 2.
Yeah. You've probably seen, like,
so
and scenes where they actually had to go in and, like, almost use, like, computer software to actually edit a lot of the detail with, like, the lightsabers and
yeah.
mm-hmm. stuff like that.
In that sense, the baseball bat physics or the glow stick physics is more realistic to if there really were a lightsaber, it mm-hmm. would emit its own light like that and, like, reflect in your eyes and everything. But we're used to the rotoscoped version.
Yeah.
So that's why it looks weird. Was yeah,
so overall, if I could grade The Force Awakens, I would probably give it a good, like, I don't think I've really changed with the rating on it. I'd give it an 8.3 out of 10. I still have fun with it, which is, again, big. If you have some fun with Star Wars, then it's doing its job well.
Mm-hmm.
So yep, I still have fun with it. I still adore aspects of it. I definitely see myself watching this over and over again. And when I introduce this to, like, maybe my niece and nephew, and probably rewatch this with the person I'm dating right now, I'll definitely enjoy seeing it with them. So
mm-hmm.
All right, Aaron, what are your thoughts?
Ranking, is that what we're doing?
Yeah,
well, it's interesting because we weren't doing Trench Run when this came out, and so I never mm-hmm. really sat down and, like, had to do that. So it's like I'm ranking it 10 years later. So what I'm trying to do is think, like, okay, what ranking would I have given it if we were doing this right after it came
right
out?
After,
like, and my criteria for that was, how did I feel at the end of the movie? So if I base it on that, like, what's my just gut reaction? What was the overarching, like, and it was just pure joy, pure enjoyment. Like, there were flaws, but that I don't remember them very clearly when I was first coming out of the movie that first night. So I'd have to say, like, 8.5 out of 10, probably. But only because of the fact that, well, for the reasons I said, like, number one, I just feel like there was just a little bit underdeveloped for what they delivered on it. And also, I don't know, they just could have handled the big three just a little bit better.
Yep.
But having said that, like, it's understood now, we know after the fact that they planned it that way. It was like, Han gets a movie, Leia gets a movie, Luke gets a movie. Or whatever it was. What was it? Was it Han, Luke, Leia?
Yeah.
And we all know what happened with that. So, if that was what they intended, I think they nailed it. Like, this was definitely Han's movie,
mm-hmm.
and I enjoyed him being in it. And it was a return to form for Harrison Ford as Han Solo. And it was Star Wars is back. Like, it was fun. It was exciting. It was funny. It had heart. You cared about the characters. It had the quiet moments, it had the big moments. I thought it was overall, like, if I were to rank it when I was standing in that kitchen with my kids, it's like, it might be a 9 out of 10. It was just, I thought it was you know, in an encapsulated, you know, kind of siloed off from the rest of anything else, thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I give it and have had it as like a B plus. Just like it's the top of the next tier after original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the prequels, they have their own shelf, as it were. their own like room of the, yeah. But yeah, this is, you know, it's like B plus and then C minus and then D, right? Like for 79 or whatever. Because it's more, it's the most rewatchable.
Oh, for sure.
I think Force Awakens or The Last Jedi is in my brain more. Like, I just think about it more. Mm-hmm. Both of like, man, like, I kind of get, like, I get what he's trying to do. Like, big swings and big misses, right? Like, the swings were bigger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you could argue, like, this was playing it safe a little bit.
Right.
Like, a soft reboot. And, like, well, so it's like, in that sense, it's kind of like, oh, like, they kind of pulled their punches a little bit. I mean, killing Han is, you know, kind of whoa. But killing Snoke in the second movie is like mm-hmm. a big punch, right? Like, whoa, they didn't pull that punch, right? So that's where, like, that's you get A for effort, right? That's what they say, right? So, like, Last Jedi gets like, well, you, like, it was your vision, right? You, but like it or not, I just, like, it didn't work or whatever. But this, yeah, this was just like a very slick product, right? But a good one, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's not like a really raw, like, live album from a band. It's like a highly mm-hmm. produced album from a band. And both can be good in different ways.
And I don't ever remember, I mean, when I first saw it, for whatever reason, I didn't pick up on, like, oh, this is a reboot, soft reboot. Like, I didn't pick up on that. I see it now.
Yeah, all the
but I didn't see it first.
I kind of saw that when he gave the plan, like, the map to BB-8. So I was like,
yeah.
Okay,
I see
where this is going, gives, but like, are they going to do something?
A droid who everyone's
after yeah.
a droid, mm-hmm. like blah, 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 is a gross
creature. The droid gets found by the isolated.
Yeah, there's like a big like freak show,
found here.
Like cantina, right, thing. Like,
yeah.
You have all the elements, not in the same order, but like
right.
all there. The mentor dies, like the, yeah.
But damn if they didn't pull it off, right?
Yeah.
They pulled right. it off. They made it work.
So, David.
Final thought. Oh, you're waiting for my take.
Did you give a number?
No. Well, like a B plus. That's
yeah. That's okay. That's like an
8.8 or 9. Yeah.
So I'm gonna surprise everyone and give this an 8.
Okay.
It's in the same range we all are, though.
Yeah.
Well, I've gone in ranks about the sequel trilogy and can't be them destroying the legends and all that. This. I remember vividly, like, the hype for this, not only going into the movie, but coming out of it, because you had all the theories of who Snoke was, what's going to happen with Luke, you know, all how the Resistance started, how the First Order started, and there was so much build-up to it, that's why Last Jedi fell so hard on its face.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it killed everything. There was no explanation of Snoke. Luke throwing the lightsaber, that just turned so many people away. So it's like they had such a good start with this. They had the grand slam, and they struck out like right away.
Yeah.
But this movie, a lot of the stuff that I really enjoyed was like the dogfighting and the starships during the attack on Starkiller Base. A lot of how that was filmed is how. What's your name? Who's gonna do the Starfighter movie? The
Rogue Squadron movie.
Yeah,
Patty Jenkins.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's how she envisioned a lot of it. Was kind of like that World War II style dogfighting, kind of like A New Hope, but at, like on steroids. And with today's visual effects, that's how I kind of see some of like the visual. So, like before we switch it over, you had it where Starkiller Base fired those two missiles. You had that side shot, the X-wing. Doing like the maneuver one to avoid the other, a maneuver to avoid the second one. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that's just so cool. It's like that kind of visual effects, it's like with what we have nowadays, is just peak like dogfighting. And like, I love the World War II stuff. So you have like A New Hope, awesome stuff. You have Return of the Jedi, which kind of upped the ante with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have like this, so it's like, you could do such good stuff with this. And I think they nailed it with this. With Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's stuff with it I could tear apart and be like, that's terrible, but you know, there's enough with it to where it's fun to watch. There's humor in it that's not going to degrade the movie. There's great, the visuals for the sequels are always good.
Mm-hmm. And all of the movies look good.
They look fantastic.
Even 10 years later, it still holds up.
Well, this era is like the peak for a lot of that in general. Like things have gotten, they plateaued or shrunk.
Mm-hmm.
Like how things look now, mm-hmm. honestly. And this like teens era is like the peak cinema, the absolute cinema, right, Daisy?
There was so much mystery going into it and coming out of it. That's what I think makes this movie of the sequels special.
So
good.
All right.
I just have one more thing to say.
All right.
If I give a separate ranking for the period of time from when they announced the new movie to all the hype afterwards about what's going to happen, then I'm like 9 out of 10. Like, the whole experience was peak.
It's sad that that didn't get replicated.
Yes.
It, like, that was once, and then it was just the whales fell off after that.
Imagine how much more that'd be multiplied if Last Jedi was actually good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If it pulled off the New Hope Empire Strikes Back effect.
Yeah. And then you land the plane really good with the last one.
Right.
When you know, like, this is the last time we'll have all these actors around. I mean, obviously, Carrie Fisher's death threw a big wrench in everything, but that's not enough of an excuse. But we'll be back for that one in 2029.
I think so too.
Yeah. For the 10th anniversary for Trentron.
Oh yeah, there you go.
So
and almost almost 50 years
anniversary.
What? Yeah, 2029.
Yeah, 2029 would be
29. Okay.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 10 years.
We'll be almost at the 50th for Empire Strikes Back at that point.
Before we finish, there is one meme I do have to say that kind of makes this movie like fun.
That's how the Force works.
But no, it's when they're on the way to see Maz, and Rey's like, I never knew there was so much green. And then it shows to flip over to green screen.
I do.
That's amazing. But that makes sense. I like that part too. That's like the little part where she's like seeing water and like greenery the first time. She played that really well. Like, oh yeah, like she grew up on a desert planet. She's never seen this
beauty before. Could never leave. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that had like a lot of Anakin there too.
Yeah. Like young Anakin, Tatooine.
The sequels, I don't like sand. I've never seen green.
Yeah, I've never seen green. Not as cringe, but close enough.
Cool. All right. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. We will be continuing with hopefully a Visions episode and
stuff to watch those.
Same.
Trying to think of what other Star Wars. Mandalorian Grogu for next year.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely get IMAX tickets for that.
I went to see Predator Badlands,
mm-hmm.
and they played the teaser trailer in the theater for Mando and Grogu.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah. So the first time I've seen a trailer in the theater for Star Wars in a long time.
Okay. Was it weird seeing Grogu on the big screen?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was fun. There's just something about seeing a Star Wars trailer in the theater that just carries so much nostalgia and so much.
If you see that Lucasfilm logo, you're like, because that's all they make.
So. I remember I didn't even realize I was there with my two coworkers. I was there with Dante, and he's like, so we caught us off guard. We were sitting there, and all of a sudden the Razor Crest was on the screen. And we were like, oh, wait, what is this?
Or maybe you were hoping it was a teaser for Starfighter or whatever.
I know they're still filming.
Yeah, that'll be next year.
Yeah.
So, until then, may the Force be with you.
Always.
Great shot, kid. That was one in a million.